It is Tuesday, October 24th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Niger's defense minister talks with VOA about the investigation into the killing of four U.S. soldiers outside a village near the Malian border.
He was saying that they fought bravely, but the ambush arrived, it surprised them.
Chinese President Xi Jinping reputedly becomes the country's most powerful leader since Mao Zedong, and singer Ed Sheeran is forced to cancel a tour following an injury. It's all ahead. An investigation continues into the killing of four U.S. soldiers in a village in Niger earlier this month. On Monday, the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, Marine General Joseph Dunford, said the families of the four soldiers deserve a quick and accurate investigation. The United States has close to 1,000 forces as part of a French-led mission helping African forces confront Islamic State and Al-Qaeda in West Africa. VOA's French to Africa service spoke with Niger's defense minister, Kala Mutari, Tuesday. I talked with Idriss Fall, senior editor of French to Africa, about the conversation with Niger's defense secretary.
I think he's downplaying all the debate about how those soldiers were killed. He was saying that they fought bravely, but the ambush arrived, it surprised them, and it created a kind of panic. For him, they all of them, the soldiers from Niger, the soldiers from the U.S., they all fought bravely, the people who attacked them. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed that there were about 30 soldiers from Niger and 12 from the U.S., and they were surprised by the attack, but he did not elaborate. When asked how come the other soldier, the fourth one, L.A. David Johnson, was found 2 days later.
He was separated from the others.
Yeah, but he said, after the fighting, we tried to find him, but they did not look at the right place, according to the minister, Kala Mutari.
And also, apparently the fighting started, and it took about an hour before the soldiers tried to get some outside help?
Well, I heard also the General Dunford yesterday in the Pentagon saying something like that. They arrived late. The minister is saying, yes, when the French came with the helicopter and Mirage, it was a confusion. But myself, I don't believe that, because you cannot have planes and while some people are attacking soldiers and doing nothing. So I think that the French did arrive after the fighting. It's my own guess. And according to several sources with whom I spoke, they arrived after the fighting.
Is that area, that village, Tongo Tongo, is that known for having militants in that region?
The region itself, which is very close to the border with Mali, is very well known because for years, kidnapping had been going on there. They attacked a prison to free some Islamists who was jailed there. And even last Saturday, they attacked a local brigade post and killed 13 soldiers this past Saturday. It means that 2 weeks after the attack against the American soldiers and Nigerian soldiers in Tongo Tongo. And people should know that it did not happen exactly inside the village of Tongo Tongo. It happened, let's say, about 10 kilometers outside Tongo Tongo. But those soldiers were on a mission. From what I heard, they were looking for accomplices to a very well-known jihadist named Abu al-Sahrawi. But they went inside the village. They talked to the villagers, and it took longer than normally they should do. It looks like the local population there, they were kind of complice of, or they may knew in advance what should happen. For that reason, the chief of the village of Tongo Tongo is now under custody at the time I'm speaking with you.
And I'm sure an investigation is continuing as to what actually happened.
Absolutely, because the Pentagon said they're going to continue the investigation because there are a lot of gray areas there. They even did not want to elaborate what kind of mission it was. They did not elaborate what kind of intelligence they had, because people should remember that U.S. had a military presence in Niger, and they have drones, but the drones are up further north in Agadez to look about what's going to come from Libya, because Niger is the only country in that region who has a common border with Libya, beside Chad, of course.
Idriss Fall, senior editor of VOA's French to Africa service. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's going on?
Well, Sarah, the war of words between President Donald Trump and Tennessee Senator Bob Corker continues. Corker is, of course, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, and had previously announced that he was not going to run for re-election in 2018. In doing so, he compared the Trump White House to an adult daycare center. He had some choice words about the president and how the administration is being run. That caused President Trump to say that Corker had begged for his endorsement, but Trump refused to give it. So this kicked off this back and forth that's been going on for a couple of weeks now. Now, today, President Trump is on Twitter accusing Corker of blocking the Republicans' tax plan in Congress, calling him incompetent, saying he's set the U.S. on a path backwards. Corker is countered by saying that Trump will lead to the debasement of the U.S., and says he has trouble telling the truth. And then this phrase, which became a trending phrase on social media, alert the daycare staff. So hashtag alert the daycare staff, of course, referring to his previous comments that the Trump administration was being run like an adult daycare center. Now, there's a lot of disbelief on social media that a U.S. president and a sitting senator would engage in what some are calling a case of name calling. It's almost like something you would see in a middle school or elementary school playground, especially, though, because Trump and Corker are both members of the Republican Party. Very unusual to see two members of the same party going after each other like this. But amid that name-calling, there's a lot of analysis on social media about what this could mean for Trump's standing with other Republicans ahead of congressional elections in 2018 and the standing of the Republican Party. If it looks as though it's in disarray, they may lose support. And that could be big trouble for President Trump, because that election, which is about a year away, if Republicans lose the House of Representatives or the Senate, it could put their agenda in peril. So while it does seem kind of superficial and just name-calling, tit-for-tat, back and forth, it could have some big political implications.
But yeah, well, we'll have to find out next year.
Yes, we'll have to wait and see. But we don't have to wait and see for a big anniversary today. And in happier news, the United Nations Charter went into effect on October 24th, 1945. So the world is celebrating, Sarah, the 72nd anniversary of the United Nations, and doing it with hashtag UN Day. Many people praising the work of the organization that they've done in their 72 years of existence, fostering international cooperation and development, including a statement from President Trump. He's spoken out against the United Nations, particularly during the presidential campaign. But in a statement out on social media, he says he recognizes the UN's contributions and says their role in preserving sovereignty, enhancing security, building prosperity, and promoting human rights and freedoms are essential today as ever before. So some great praise from President Trump there. But while we're talking about the 72nd birthday of the UN, there's another number that people are talking about on social media, and that's the number 17. Because the UN has 17 global goals that they've released, including eliminating poverty and hunger, economic growth, gender equality, clean water, and clean energy. Many people are noting that even decades after the UN was formed and after decades of helping people around the world, there's still a lot of work to be done. So a lot of people highlighting that today and hoping that that work will continue.
And there's still, unfortunately, a number of wars, too.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. The U.S. will intensify its screening of refugees as its partial travel ban expires. Russia vetoes a U.N. resolution to extend investigation of Syria's gas attacks. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson visits Pakistan in a push for more action against militants. And the U.S. will not yet call violence against Myanmar Rohingya ethnic cleansing. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute. Two of the most common fears people have are arachnophobia, which is a fear of spiders, and ophidophobia, the fear of snakes. Whether they live in rural communities or in the heart of the big city, people generally get at least a little anxious at the thought of a spider crawling up their arm or a snake slithering between their toes. New research from German and Swedish scientists suggests our fears of spiders and snakes is hereditary and has its origin in evolution. Researchers found babies as young as 6 months who haven't learned of possible dangers associated with some spiders and snakes display signs of stress when they see pictures of the creepy crawly creatures. When shown a photo of a spider or snake instead of a similarly sized and colored flower or fish, the baby's pupils were found to get considerably bigger. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Ed Sheeran's new single, Perfect, is released, and we'll get to hear some of it. Chinese President Xi Jinping was elevated to an elite status Tuesday at the close of the twice-a-decade Communist Party Congress, when it inserted his name and political thought into the party constitution, placing it alongside other notable Chinese leaders, including founder Mao Zedong and reformer Deng Xiaoping. His concept is described as setting China on the path to becoming a great modern socialist country by mid-century. Addressing what he called a successful Congress, Mr. Xi said the Chinese nation and people embrace brilliant prospects and a bright future. He called for courage and resolve to build on past achievements and stride forward to an ever-promising future. Willie Lam, an adjunct professor at the Center for China Studies at the Chinese University of Hong Kong, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty the party's decision elevates Xi Jinping to become the Mao Zedong of the 21st century.
This effectively means that he will stay in power for much longer than the usual 10 years. That is intense discussion amongst party members that Xi Jinping might remain the country's number one leader until the 21st Party Congress in 2027, or even perhaps if his health allows, until the 22nd Party Congress in 2032, when he will be 79 years old.
Was this a surprise?
Well, this is no surprise, because from day one, 5 years ago when he first seized power, Xi Jinping has been methodically laying the groundwork to build up a kind of a Xi Jinping dynasty. In the past 5 years, he has been very successful in grooming a so-called Xi Jinping faction, which has now emerged as the largest faction within the Communist Party. And this faction, consisting of his cronies, proteges, and loyalists, will definitely support his ambition to remain number one in the party and government for at least 15 years, if not 20 years.
What will this mean for Chinese policy?
In terms of political institutions and traditions, this will be a major retrogression, because when Deng Xiaoping, the chief architect of reform, emerged from power after the Cultural Revolution, Deng Xiaoping was adamant in repudiating one-person rule. Deng Xiaoping has forbidden the personality cult to be erected around leaders, and Deng Xiaoping has laid down major institutional changes, such as retirement age and term limits for party and state leaders. So the fact that Xi Jinping is now effectively the emperor for life means that dictatorial traditions, which were the case during the Cultural Revolution, might be reinstated on a large scale.
This comes just about a week and a half or so before President Trump meets President Xi. Do you expect any difference in the way that the two leaders will treat each other?
Now that Xi Jinping has put his house in order, he will devote more resources and energy to boosting China's global position. On the world stage, China will close the gap with the U.S. China will become a full-fledged superpower, able to challenge the U.S., particularly in the Asia-Pacific arena. All in all, we will expect China to aspire to become the rule setter on the global stage in areas ranging from financial arrangements to globalization to world trade.
Willie Lam said the Center of Power, the Politburo Standing Committee, will be selected Wednesday. He expects the seven-person body to be stacked with Xi loyalists and likely no one born later than the 1950s, another sign Mr. Xi intends to remain on top for some time with no heir apparent. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
This is International Edition. A pop singer is recovering from a recent accident, but it's not stopping him from releasing a new single. I'm joined by VOA's Border Crossings host, Larry London.
We're going to take a listen and a look at one of the hottest guys in music right now. His name is Ed Sheeran. Not only is he popular for his songwriting, it seems everyone wants Ed Sheeran to write a song for them. He's also been popular for his own music. His latest album, which is his third, is called Divide. Ed Sheeran ran into a bit of bad luck last week. He was riding his bike back home in London. He was struck by a car.
Oh.
And that not only, you know, startled him, but it also broke his left elbow and right wrist.
Mm.
Now, when you're a one-man act and you're on tour and there's no other band but you playing the guitar and singing, it makes it hard to go on.
Is he right-handed?
Yes, he is, as a matter of fact. And, you know, breaking left elbow, right wrist, it affected either direction.
Right. Yeah.
And so Ed, unfortunately, had to cancel his Asian tour, which was due to start over the weekend, last weekend. And unfortunately, he told his fans that he's very sorry and he regrets that he's had to cancel the tour. But the next time he's back on the road isn't until August 2018 when he resumes his world tour, and he expects to be fully healed by then. We're going to listen to the brand new song and come back with some more Ed Sheeran news. This song is called Perfect. It's the new one from Ed Sheeran.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead.
Larry, why has he become so popular? So many people want to record his songs.
That is a great question. I wish I could actually give you the correct answer. I can only give you my opinion. My opinion is he knows how to write a great hit. He's written hits for so many other artists in England and in the U.S. He's written for Justin Bieber. He's written for Adele. And so many other people around the world want Ed Sheeran to write a song. He's a great songwriter. In fact, the BBC just named him the best British act at their teen award show. Q Magazine, a very prestigious awards in London, just gave him the best act in the world today award. And he's already won two Brit Awards. He's up for five American Music Awards. They just announced the nominations coming up in November. And he's up for four MTV Europe Awards as well. So he's definitely a hot property. Now, here's some interesting things. First of all, the song Perfect, which we just heard, it's his new one, the third song off his latest album, Divide. He says this song was inspired by his sweetheart. He's been with Cherry Seaborn since high school. He said, we come from a very small town, so it's very rare to find love and to be able to sustain love as long as they have. They're still together, and he calls her Perfect. In fact, just this past week during an interview in the UK, Ed revealed that he once was the victim of substance abuse, that he went through a period of time where actually he said, you know, you work so hard to get where you are, and then something so small as drugs can take it all away from you. He kind of shut things down for a period of time. He said it was Cherry who got him through that tough time. Without her, he doesn't know what would have become of his life and his career. So he's happy to be back. Ed has had some bad luck in the last year or so. He underwent ear surgery. Not only that, he was at a party with some friends, and they were tipping a few, and they did one of those "I'm going to knight you" routines, like the queen normally knights somebody, and she sliced his cheek with a sword accidentally, and he got stitches and was taken to the hospital. He calls himself antisocial. He says, "I'm not really a social person. I'm a very quiet introvert." And in fact, he shut his cell phone off for an entire year while he was writing songs for his new album, Divide. So it's a very interesting story. You know, Ed Sheeran continues to amaze. If you see him in concert when he resumes his tour in August, he puts on a fantastic show. It's a one-man thing. He only stands there and he uses a loop where he mixes different sounds. He creates them every night, his own unique style and sound. But man, his song Shape of You was number one for 12 weeks this past year. So Ed is definitely a guy who knows how to sing the hits, and his latest is called Perfect.
Yeah, and he has some pretty interesting tattoos on his arms.
He does. He's got tattoos all over his body, which seems to be something that all the artists are doing these days, is getting tattoos, getting artwork.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
Now I know I have met.
Music of Ed Sheeran. And that is our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. senior counterterrorism officials briefed reporters recently on the dangerous activities of the terrorist group Hezbollah, both worldwide and in the United States. Although it pretends to be a legitimate party, Hezbollah's penchant for violence has not changed for the last three decades, said Nicholas Rasmussen, director of the National Counterterrorism Center. Americans first saw the deadly nature of the group, he noted, with the fatal attacks on the U.S. Embassy and on the Marine Barracks in Beirut in 1983. In 2012, the group carried out a bomb attack in Bulgaria that killed five Israeli tourists and one Bulgarian national, and a number of Hezbollah operatives have been caught laying the groundwork for attacks in places like Azerbaijan, in Egypt, in Thailand, in Cyprus, and in Peru, he said. Other instances of the group's deadly work include the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri in 2005, the killing of at least 84 Lebanese citizens and wounding of almost 200 more in Beirut in 2008, the ongoing buildup of weapons in Lebanon in violation of UN Security Council resolutions, the perpetuation of conflict across the Middle East in places like Iraq, Yemen, and Syria. Concerning the homeland, Director Rasmussen cited the arrest in June of two individuals, one in New York and one in Michigan, who were operating on behalf of Hezbollah's International Terrorist Unit, a stark reminder, he said, of the group's global attack on infrastructure as well as its aspirations to potentially carry out attacks in the United States. U.S. Ambassador at Large and Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales noted that Hezbollah's ability to become the global threat it is today is the result of the assistance it receives from one source, Iran. The Iranian regime has built and bankrolled Hezbollah to foment instability throughout the region and across the world. This has all come at the expense of the Iranian people, whose resources are being diverted to support Hezbollah's bloody cause, and at the expense of Lebanon, which has suffered grievously from Iran and Hezbollah's deadly partnership. The people of Iran and the people of Lebanon deserve better than this, he said. Ambassador Sales promised that the United States and its allies will aggressively target Hezbollah's terrorist infrastructure and financial support networks. We will deny it the resources it needs to carry out its deadly attacks, and we will bring its leaders and operatives to justice.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.